Zelengo, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Sunday, October 21st, 2001, at 11:30 p.m., entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part 10, Skull and Bones. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kintako. Have a pleasant flight.
Clear.
Folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear. See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lights can't help him, troops our weapon will collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in so. See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind of thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to beat down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have.
The People's Choice, Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,506th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield. It's time to head up to the World Wide Web, www.pirateradioataboutcom. When the box comes up, says find it now, you type in Kentaco, K-A-N-T-A-K-O, and you got Human Rights Radio on the World Wide Web. We got to call in to the place to be since we got up on the web. A whole bunch of more folks are becoming part of the Human Rights Radio listening audience, and we're going to call upon Dada Kanati. Kanati, Zalango to you.
Zalango.
Normally only on the intro to the program, but hers in here tonight because you got to give a welcoming shout out to all those listeners of the different stations, even bigger now than the Human Rights Radio family, as a result of us going to www.pirateradioataboutcom. Kanati?
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Uhuru, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, brung by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview Hunters Point, with Kaka and Michael Hibbett and the crew. Also at 104.1 FM, Slave Revolt Radio, in the Criminal Enterprise called San Francisco, California, with Tracy Yames and the Posse. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff, glad to have you with us.
That's the crew now listening to Human Rights Radio's co-creation. We call it the Human Rights Patrol. Going to thank Kanati for being with us, and thank you, sister. And she'll be back in future patrol programs to help us make welcome some more folks, I'm sure, as this program becomes even more a worldwide thing. Human rights is a recognition that there's no greater power than the power that brings forth all life. And in your search to find out the truths that you need to know to be the best about life, you know, our elders has taught us that our effort has to be toward defining and decoding the phenomenon. The phenomenon being the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Defining meaning, what is this going on around us? Decoding means, how does it work? Because once we do this, our elders teach us, we can make it work in a desired way. Recognizing there's no greater power than the power that brung all into existence, because you can't recognize no other power that's greater if you know, if you dig in on human rights, you know what I'm saying? You know, those truths are self-evident. Well, recognizing this, you know, the search for truth are going to lead you to some kind of questions that are going to make a lot of folks uncomfortable. In the last installment of the Human Rights Patrol, we started talking about the Masons, and we don't want you to think that the Masons is the only group that's into that. There's a lot of groups into it. Basically, you know that up in here to be doing the diabolical work in this country that they do, they got to be into something pretty diabolical. And the laws of opposites teach us that as sure as you got folks that are in the good, you got some that are in the evil. And we don't need to trip and see what's really running things in terms of how they got things divided. I think, was it Michael Townsend, professor of criminal operation called the University of Illinois in Springfield, good white source, told us in one edition of this program we call the Human Rights Patrol, that the bottom 40% in this country is like forced to divide up 1% of the total wealth. You got a wicked system. Well, a lot of secret deals is made. A lot of handshakes is made. We're going to talk about a group tonight called Skull and Bones. I first became aware of this group by, again, Brother Steve Coakley out of the Criminal Enterprise called Chicago in the early 90s. And Brother Steve helped me deal with that question of where is all these wicked devils coming from? They do have an evil central. He first brought this conversation about some old white folks that had some power that get together and wrestle butt naked and in big old tubs of horse doo-doo and stuff. And I thought, wait a minute now, Steve, you're going a little farther. But then all of a sudden, you know, you get to thinking about it, you know, why wouldn't they? They're so low down and dirty. And then the white folks started writing stuff in the Village Voice about it. And the conversation got spread more and more in the African community as we're attempting to define and decode the phenomenon. And then, boom, here they come on the television. They ain't going to deny it. And I think what they realized was they couldn't contain the conversation no more. So, okay, it's like a modern-day lynching. Yeah, we meet in tombs. Yeah, we sit around skulls. Now will you do what we tell you without us having to go drama? Let's deal with the issue of Skull and Bones. Got this from the House of 4,000 Tapes. That's what Human Rights Radio is here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield at 106.5 FM. The House of 4,000 Tapes. And we're going to draw from that library for this Human Rights Patrol program. And we're going to make it kind of program, you know, because a lot of folks say, how you know they reading that? How you know they reading that? Well, you know you're hearing this, don't you? You know you're hearing this.
50 years, it has stood on High Street in New Haven, dark and foreboding. On the edge of the campus of Yale University, it has no windows, and its doors remain bolted to all but the initiated. It is the impenetrable command post of one of the most prestigious secret societies in the world. Its members call the building the Tomb, headquarters of Skull and Bones. Since 1832, 15 Yale juniors, men only until the 1990s, often the most impressive members of their class, are tapped to become bonesmen. Throughout their senior year, they gather on Thursday and Sunday nights at precisely 8 p.m., referred to within the organization as SBT, or Skull and Bones Time. Nothing that happens behind the doors of the tomb is ever supposed to be repeated, but the members say they spend those evenings eating dinner and exchanging their true feelings about themselves and the issues of the day. Discussion holds such a central position in Bones activities that Bonesmen say the number 322 on the Skull and Bones insignia refers to 322 BC, the year the Greek orator Demosthenes died.
Let's stop here because a lot of things have happened. They said this here place has existed on the campus of Yale. No, not no little Rudy Pucata is like Lincolnland or something here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, but Yale University, right? Lincolnland's a community college. Yale's like prestigious, right? Where Yamamoto got a degree, though he never attended classes. They ain't got no records of Yamamoto going no classes. You know Yamamoto? World War II? Anyway, we ain't going to go there, right? Anyhow, they said this place has been on the campus for 150 years. Now, I think it's kind of warped, you know, grown folks. Aliana honor free and all that kind of ignorant stuff, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's kind of warped for grown men to be laying around grown men naked in coffins with skulls around the room talking stupid stuff like that. But the fact is there are those that do it. And if you don't want to deal with the fact that they do it, will not change the fact that they are a part of the dynamic that you find yourself in the midst of. Therefore, your ability to resolve your circumstances will be based on your lack of willingness to deal with the truths of the circumstances. That's right. So let's go back. Oh, the 322, I've had folks in the numerology tell me those letters. Numerical value is SKB for Skull and Bones. And then you also know that's the time they forced the boys are supposed to be smart in Greece too, to drink the hemlock. Was it Aristotle, one of them? They made them drink the hemlock. And also, what I think is key because of the significance of the tomb thing, that's the depth of the burial chamber of the biggest burial tomb at Giza there on the Giza Plateau in the Egyptian situation. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're really playing on that. You know what I mean? Because I ain't going to argue with them if they think it's going to get them some secret power. But remember, we with human rights. So there is no our creator that grants us these rights. Is don't have no rival. So anyhow, here's what they do, and we're examining.
Demosthenes died. Many others claim the meetings are a boot camp for an organization that secretly controls the world's banking apparatus and its sources of political power. They also claim the skulls of Pancho Villa and Geronimo, allegedly stolen by past bonesmen, are on display in the tomb. Legend holds that all bonesmen undergo a bizarre initiation, where they lie naked in a coffin in the tomb, as they recount the intimate details of their sexual histories. The most chilling of the sagas, however, refers to the awesome power of Skull and Bones. These men, and now women, allegedly of privilege and descending from America's oldest and wealthiest families, are said to be invited to join a lifelong secret syndicate. A syndicate which many believe has engineered a criminal conspiracy among the world's most powerful elements. The alleged conspiracy would have included some of America's most influential leaders. The history of 20th century America reads like a roster of Skull and Bones. From William Howard Taft, the only man to serve as both President and Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, to financier and diplomat Averill Harriman, Time, Fortune, and Life magazine founder Henry Luce, Vietnam War architect McGeorge Bundy, and one of that war's best-known opponents, William Sloan Coffin.
Now look, they got all kind of little clubs they get together, man. Beat on drums, butt naked in the woods and stuff. And if they think that's going to keep them in power, fine, I'm not going to argue with them. But I think it's important that our people comprehend the mentality of these fools that we're dealing with, okay? And, you know, you'd be kind of hard-pressed, man. I mean, you think about it. You really ain't never thought about it. But if somebody told you, you know, like we said back in the Mason thing, you go there and all these preachers and stuff there, and then what if somebody did pull out a skull and ask you, you know, did you want to be in the club? I mean, what would you say? And they got skulls around, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we, a lot of you came up like me. My mother, Desi Reedus, may she rest in peace. She was really good about protecting me from a lot of stuff. I mean, we went through a lot of things, but a lot of this stuff in this country, she really kept me from. And when I heard of groups like this, at first it caught me off guard. And I was like, uh-uh. But, you know, it was Bush's daddy, his granddaddy, actually, Prescott Bush, who was supposed to have, was he had Geronimo's skull? Yeah, he's the one supposed to have been off in the coffin with Geronimo's skeleton and stuff, man. Now, that don't make no sense. Anyway, it wouldn't even be worth talking about. But as you heard the names of these clowns, the boy that was the only Taft, the only one ever to be the top cat on the top court and a president, he was in the group. Come on, man, it ain't like Bugs Bunny's group, is it? I mean, you know, it ain't funny either.
Conservative publisher, talk show host, and novelist William F. Buckley Jr. and former President George Bush. Skull and Bones was not always so secretive. As late as the 1920s, the New York Times even reported the results of Tap Day, the day when the society chooses its new members. Not anymore. Dozens of bonesmen were contacted for this program. The rituals they performed at their tomb affected them so much that few would reveal any part of the rites.
Now look, and there ain't nothing wrong with having no club. You know, if the cats get together, you know, kick it however you want. But why you gotta do all this laying in coffins naked with bones and skulls and meeting in tombs? And, you know, that's kind of like a little bit past, you know, socializing. It's like if somebody broke out an attitude like that in my crib, I was like, you gotta go, baby. We don't do no, you know what I'm saying?
Some, however, agreed to speak off the record, and they provided a clear picture of their ultra-secret initiation ceremonies. The following is probably the most detailed recreation of a Skull and Bones initiation ever seen on television. Each March, the sitting class of bonesmen extend an invitation to the candidates in the succeeding class. It happens on a night called pre-tap. Before this night, prospective bonesmen usually have no idea that they have even been considered. Near midnight, a huge fist pounding on a dormitory room door rouses a junior from bed. He opens the door and finds someone he has never seen before.
Come with me.
The candidate is hustled down a hall and thrown into a room. The only light in the room comes from the candles held in front of 15 faces. Some may be familiar. A voice identifies the group as the Order of the Skull and Crossbones.
You will be asked to accept or reject.
One throws down a box containing names and telephone numbers of those who can answer questions about the organization.
Speak of this to no one.
Suddenly, the faces blow out their candles. The room turns to black as an arm pushes the candidate out the door and into the hall. He's strong-armed back to his room. About a month later, tap night falls on the Yale campus. The candidates are told to stay in their rooms. Another stranger appears at the door.
Skull and bones, accept or reject?
Accept.
Come with me.
If the candidate accepts, his initiation odyssey begins. One bonesman from the 1980s agreed to appear on camera to reveal parts of what he experienced, but anonymously and, at times, evasively.
Someone shows up at your door. You've never seen them before, and they may say, follow me, and then you may follow them, and then there may be someone else. They may lead you to someone else.
Another bonesman has described how he had to keep up with his sprinting counterpart as he ran through the campus. Eventually, the initiate arrives in the backyard of the tomb and takes a blindfold. He or she is spun and handed off. Apparently, nothing overtly physical occurs. Then the initiate is led into the tomb.
Let's say someone is in a coffin. Let's say there are candles somewhere. Let's say there is Geronimo's skull. Maybe this serves to create this environment that's otherworldly.
Bonesmen escort the initiate to room 322, the inner temple of Skull and Bones, a room draped in velvet and opulence, where the bonesmen hold their gatherings. There, members spin the candidate until he or she can barely stand. When the initiate gets his bearings, he sees for the first time that bonesmen old and new are packing the room.
Hurrah for Skull and Bones! Who wouldn't be a pirate? The whole broad sea he owns. His name, the children.
The group suddenly bursts into one of the many songs written for and by bonesmen to be sung only in the tomb. The initiation and other bones rituals mysteriously work to convince new members that no secret told inside these walls will ever leave.
Part of going through the rituals and the initiation is creating a feeling that this is a sacred place. So therefore, that creates this feeling of trust that having gone through this whole ritual and initiation, no one will want to break the secrecy.
Bonesmen cling to that secrecy with such diligence that legends of mystery and conspiracy evolve, each neither confirmed nor denied by Skull and Bones. For those who believe the conspiracy theories of Skull and Bones, the initiation rites of the organization do much more than inculcate feelings of trust and a belief in secrecy. They provide the foundation for a lifetime of clandestine plots for power. In the summer of 1978, after graduating from Yale, Andrei Navrazov bought the country's oldest literary magazine, the nearly bankrupt Yale Lit, a journal with alleged shadowy ties to Skull and Bones. The 22-year-old Navrazov took the Lit National, gave it a full-color coffee table look, and Navrazov says eventually attracted 3,600 subscribers. It also changed radically from a showcase of student writing to what many Yale students and much of Yale's English department considered a right-wing journal, printing the works of obscure European writers, poets, and playwrights. After 4 years, Yale apparently had had enough and adopted rules that recategorized the Lit as a non-student organization, requiring the magazine to remove the Yale name from its title. Navrazov, now an author living in London, took the university to court. During the litigation, he says he felt the power of Skull and Bones against him. After losing at the trial level, Navrazov claims he and his lawyer decided to argue on appeal that another non-student organization had operated the Lit for decades without intrusion, namely Skull and Bones. Despite its location on the Yale campus, Skull and Bones is completely independent of the university. Navrazov would cite a book published in the 1870s and written anonymously that explained how Skull and Bones had subtly maintained control of the lid since 1864.
They controlled it when it suited them, and when it didn't suit them, they left it to lesser men.
Navrazov says to prove his point in court, he would have to expose many of the secrets of Skull and Bones.
At that point, he got a letter from George Bush telling him, hey, dude, basically you're messing with the wrong crew, right? Anyhow, he eventually lost his case. Now, you know, they got people prepped for this kind of stuff with stuff like, the Flintstones. You say, how the Flintstones in Banner? Remember them water buffalo meetings Fred and them used to go to? Right? Yeah, okay. Now, if you're into human rights, this stuff don't bother you. They can do anything they want to. It ain't going to faze you. Because the creator that gives you your human rights, if you accept your human responsibilities, look out for you, no matter what they're doing. But we bring you the information. Remember, the group's about 100, they say 150 years old, but they've been, doing the bone and skull thing for a long time. So don't trip. It's kind of like, kind of a little bit beyond what you would think folks need to be about the business of, but you can't, argue with the fact that they do that, right? We're going to call upon Kanata making her way black in here to let you know how this Human Rights Radio co-creation is sweeping the nation. Some of the stations that now share this with their listeners in the different places. Kanata, Zelango again to you.
Zelango.
You want to share that with the folks as this program starts off at www.pirateradioatabout.com. When that search box comes up, you type in the box that says find it now. Type in the name Kentucky. You can get this program off the World Wide Web, originating out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois at 106.5 FM. And Kanata, you got something to share with the people.
All right, we're going to say Zelango to Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM with Kaka Inka Uhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio, brung by Brother Lavelle. Also, to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP and the criminal enterprise called Bayview Hunters Point with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. Also at 104.1 FM, Slave Revolt Radio in the criminal enterprise called San Francisco, California with Tracy Yames and the posse. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with B-Man and their staff. Glad to have you with us.
This program comes off the internet at www.pirateradioatabout.com. That box that comes up says find it now. Type in the name Kentako, K-E-N-T-A-K-O. You can make it available in your community over the radio, however you want to have it. Human Rights Radio is now an information network. Kanata, thank you for our assistance in this particular edition. We're calling it Skull and Bones. Aliana, Ana, free. That ain't going to hurt nobody, but our ignorance about it might. Let's learn, and then we can make the tables turn. We're on our 4,506th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois at 106.5 FM, and you're listening to the People's Choice, the Human Rights Patrol.
Sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and suffering of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us. We will be loving. Sharing. And creative. We will work. Study. And listen. So we may learn. Learn so we may teach. We will cultivate self-reliance. We will struggle to resurrect. And unify our homeland. We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline. Patience. Devotion. And courage. We will live as models. To provide new direction for our people. We will be free and self-determining.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Aluta!
Continue on!
Continue on!